This is Emily Hester. It is November 5th, and this evening I'm interviewing Kelsey Vogt, and we will be discussing her oral history. It is 6:50 p.m. in Hyde Park, New York. Kelsey, where are you from?
Well, I'm a military brat, so I kind of grew up all over the country, East Coast and West Coast, and I even spent some time in Korea.
Awesome. Where do you live now?
Now I live right here on the CIA campus in the Escoffier townhouse.
Perfect. Where are you in your program?
So I graduated from AOS back in April at the California campus. Now I'm in my seventh term in the Bachelor's of Business Administration program. With a concentration in entrepreneurship.
Awesome. Tell me about your food philosophy.
What I feel is that food is both a representation of culture, like, you know, if you show me what you eat, I can tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, it's a vehicle for changing culture. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Explain what being vegan means to you.
Mostly it means being aware. Mm-hmm. When I first became vegan, it was a dare with my brother, and I just thought vegans were crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through learning what to eat, I learned why people were vegan, and that awareness made me not be able to have any other choice. Like, I had to be vegan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one's perfect. And so it's not about restricting yourself. It's more about finding things that are good for you and are good for the earth and make everyone happy.
Yes. Teach me the process of how you make your favorite vegan dish.
So right now I'm really into pho. Mm-hmm. I externed at a Vietnamese restaurant, and we're working on a pho concept for the entrepreneurship program. And I love vegetarian pho, because the broth is like super, super flavorful, and it's crazy that you can get like so many complex flavors out of vegetables. And so basically all you have to do is take some daikons, carrots, and really kind of any vegetables that you have left around your kitchen, chop them up into, you know, 2 or 3 inch pieces, throw them in a pot, and then with some onions, garlic, and ginger for all of them, you're basically just going to want to cut them in half, like leave the peels on and everything. Mm-hmm. And just char them, like the ginger we do over a flame, and the onions and garlic we do on the flat top, get them really nice dark brown, brûléed or burnt, perfect. Throw them in there. And then also all those warm, delicious pho seasonings. So you have your cloves, your star anise, your Chinese cinnamon, mm-hmm. Coriander, all those things. There's like 8 different spices for pho. So you toast them all up, get them in the pot too. And probably most importantly is all the is all those aromatics, as well as some lemongrass, throw some cilantro in there. Mm-hmm. And then cover it with cold water, boil for about an hour. Whatever you do, please do not cook it too long, because then it would just take the carrots. Oh. It is the worst thing. But so after about an hour, strain everything, and you're going to add salt, sugar, and this might be controversial, but add some MSG. And then my favorite part is this, like, mushroom powder. You kind of, like...
Oh, the umami.
Yes. Powder, yes. You take, like, some shiitake, dry them up, powder them, and throw them in. And the whole idea is this balance of, like, sweet from the sugar and salty and umami and all these things. And then, of course, when you give the pho to whoever you're serving it, you're going to have those rice noodles in there. You're going to have whatever kind of vegetables you want. And all those herbs and things on top, that mint, that basil, that lime, those jalapenos, adding mm-hmm. another layer of complexity to the dish. So yeah, just add flavor, and it's amazing.
And then why use cold water?
So basically, what you're trying to do when you make any kind of stock is to draw out the flavors. And if you start something in hot water, you're essentially just going to cook the vegetables or whatever it is in the pot. But when you start with cold water, it just slowly extracts. It opens them up. Exactly.
Okay. See? Great. And then how did you deal with being a vegan student during the AOS program?
This is the hardest part about the whole program. So before committing to the CIA, I spent a lot of time doing some self-reflection, and I decided that throughout my time at the CIA, I was just going to keep my head down and taste all the foods.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really tough decision because, you know, now I've been vegan for 5 years, and I really, that's just how I eat. And the idea of eating animal products again was terrifying. And it was pretty tough throughout AOS, especially with
meat fab.
And yes, fab and those were the hardest things. And it's
destroying and breaking down animals.
And especially when you know in the back of your head that one day, I want to own a restaurant and this isn't even going to be there. So it's
why do I need to?
Right. Yeah. It feels almost pointless. But so just remembering why I made that decision in the first place, it's just I came here to learn. This is what I'm being taught. Mm-hmm. And if I want a restaurant and if I want to compete against the best, then I have to learn next to the best, and I have to learn what they know.
Yes,
so then I can do one step mm-hmm. above.
I see. What was your experience with meat in the past?
I think for as long as I can remember, I never really liked it. I can remember real specifically when I was living in Korea, I was probably 8 to 10 years old, and there was a lot of really good obviously animal centered dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to try them for the sake of exploring flavors, but I would never finish a plate because I just didn't like eating meat. Of course, when I was that young, I just ate whatever my parents fed me, but if we were having steak and potatoes, I would just eat the potatoes because I never had a draw towards meat.
Simply meat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel when people were forcing you to eat meat and animal products in class?
This was the worst thing. So, I said before, I decided that I was going to taste my dishes, but my classmates didn't really understand what that meant for me and how big of a deal that was for me. So they would really try to push all my boundaries. When I'd be let me taste a tiny bite of this, and they'd be no, just eat it. Yeah. Or even outside of class, I would taste all the things in class, and then we'd have a 30-minute lunch break and I wouldn't eat any of it for lunch. They would give me such a hard time.
Because you already had your taste.
Right. Right. So I don't feel any need to taste uh-huh. it. I already did. Yeah. But they're Kelsey, you already tasted it. Why not just eat? I'm they don't. It's so it's hard because they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you just gotta, stay stubborn and they can deal with it.
Right. When did you make the switch to a vegan lifestyle?
So about when I was 14, I actually became vegetarian first because I mentioned before, I never liked the idea of eating animals. But I also, was so young, it's not like I could go and cook myself something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I was 14, I was in that introductory to kitchen classes in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my chef was showing me something that the advanced students were doing. They were making a rabbit roux, and I had a pet rabbit. And so then I would I just realized, there's no difference between eating a rabbit and eating a cow
mm-hmm.
or any other animal. So I just wasn't going to do any of it. And I told my chef right then that I was going to be vegetarian. She pretty much almost kicked me out of class, but didn't. And then that was in the springtime, and then in Thanksgiving of that same year, my older brother came to town, and he was kind of making fun of me for being vegetarian. But, you know, I made fun of him back, basically saying he'd never be able to do it.
Yeah.
And that all ended up in a dare of who could be vegan
A
month.
Wow.
I won, needless to say. But yeah, and then that's when I learned about why people are vegan, and now I've been that way for like 5 years now.
There you are. How do you feel about our current food system?
I hate it. that's my, you know, I keep saying I started this by simply not wanting to eat animals, but now this has totally transformed into this idea of I just don't want to eat animals that were grown in the way that the American food system produces them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a lot of really, really high-end restaurants, if you're paying $300 for a meal, like, that chicken was probably treated properly.
Right.
But if you're paying, you know, less than a dollar for a burger, like, what do you think happened to that cow?
What's
like,
in that?
Right. Yes, I think this is, like, the like antagonist in the story of my life right now is this food system.
Yes. What makes you happy?
Food. Good food. Good soup.
Mm-hmm.
And conversations. Conversations are really important to me. That was a big part of why I started to cook as well. With thinking of food as culture. And the idea of changing culture, a big part of that is you have to talk about things if you want to change them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're eating a vegan burger instead of a burger, you're going to talk about it. You're going to tell everyone, like, oh, I tried this, like, burger without any meat in it. And anyways, yeah, I love conversations and talking.
Conversation. Mm-hmm. Are there ever days where you wish you didn't have to explain your lifestyle to others?
Yes, all the time. Back in AOS, too many people would, like, realize that, like, I tasted food but called myself vegan, and they'd be like, oh, so you're not really vegan then. And that was, like, I expected to be given a hard time about being vegan. I was totally prepared for this, but I never imagined that people would give me a hard time for tasting food.
Right.
In
culinary
school. Right, I'm in culinary school, why would I not taste, like, this stock or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was the toughest part about, you know, staying vegan in AOS, was having all these people, like, question it from both sides, mm-hmm. like, question, like, why don't you just start eating meat, or, you know, why don't you just be full meat? Yeah, so I wish, you know, people could just accept it, or, like, And I do like, actively avoid explaining it to some people sometimes. Like, if I go out to eat, I never tell, like, the waitress that, oh, I'm vegan, so could you leave off the cheese?
Do something special.
Right. Yeah. I always just say, like, can we have the spaghetti, but don't put parm on it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try not to explain.
Right.
But, you know, that can be frustrating, too, because being vegan is so important to me,
mm-hmm.
that I kind of want the whole world to know. I want to have that conversation, but I don't want to feel like I'm going to be judged for it.
Mm-hmm. If you could give one piece of advice to a new vegan, what would it be?
That you're not going to be perfect. I don't eat honey, and so many times I would think something is vegan because it says, like, oh, it doesn't contain milk and it doesn't contain eggs, and so then I'm like, oh, of course it's vegan, and then it's like, oh, but honey, right. That one's a little harder to find labeled, or, like, for a long time I was using a shampoo that I didn't realize had, like, animal products in it, so don't beat yourself up, you're gonna make mistakes, and also the first 21 days are the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do something for 21 days, you can do it for the rest of your life. That's how long it takes to form a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also how long it takes to get rid of the, like, cravings for cheese in particular.
Uh-huh.
That's a tough one.
Cheese.
Yes. But just get through 21 days and don't beat yourself up.
Perfect. And what are your dreams for the future?
I want a future of people who are aware, people who are talking about the food system. You know, the restaurant industry has changed in the past 20 years. Now we have foodies. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole farm to table movement has happened. So people are becoming more aware, but I don't want that to be exclusively for the foodies and people on the West Coast anymore. Like, I want people in Iowa to be talking about, like, oh, this farm fresh ingredients, mm-hmm. and oh, where did this cow come from? Like, right. I want everyone to be mm-hmm. talking about it. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kelsey, for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.